1 Samuel, chapter number 12, we're going to read two verses here together in unison. If you have a King James Bible, verses 23 and 24. 1 Samuel, chapter number 12, verse 23 and 24. And let's read together, shall we? Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. I'm going to talk to you this morning about verse 23. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I'm going to talk this morning about the lack of prayer in people's lives. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for salvation. Lord, we are here as a direct result of prayer. A mother's prayer, a father's prayer, grandmother's prayer, grandfather's prayer, a great-grandfather that we've never met, a great-grandmother that we've never met, an uncle, an aunt, a brother, a sister, maybe a son or a daughter, maybe a preacher. But we are here as a direct result of someone praying for us. I believe that we are saved as a direct result of someone praying for us. I believe that you have guided us, dear God, as a result of people praying for us. And I think too often, I think the greatest sin amongst God's people is a lack of prayer. It is the one area I believe that Satan hits more often and harder than anything else. And I pray, dear God, in the next 30 minutes or so, that we would block out everything else in this world and not be distracted and pay attention, Lord, to the Word of God this morning. Thank you for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them, encourage them. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice what the man of God, Samuel, said here in verse 23. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I believe, personally, that the greatest need in God's people today is that of prayer. I believe that if there's one area that God's people are lacking in, it is this area of quiet prayer, quiet time, the prayer closet all by themselves. We have no problem praying for our church when a public speaker stands up, pastor, evangelist, missionary. We have no problem bowing our heads and praying for our food before we eat. We have no problems corporate prayer around a hospital bed. We have no problems praying because it's the Christian thing to do. It's a religious thing to do. And so we pray at those times. But I dare say that the vast majority of God's people lead a prayerless life. I believe the vast majority of God's people have no idea what it is to get up in the morning and get on their knees in a prayer closet by themselves before they turn the television on, before they grab their cell phone, before they flip open their laptop, before they watch Fox News, before they rush through the day, before they brush their teeth, before they get in their car, before they go to work. I dare say the vast majority of God's people neglect the most important part of a Christian life. And that's secret time with Jesus alone by yourself. Samuel, the man of God, says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What people need is they need a praying mother on her knees. What people need is a praying father on his knees. What people need is a praying preacher on his knees. What people need are people praying for one another and for God to work in your own life. I strongly believe, that the reason why people are so upset and angry and mad is because they're not praying in the morning to be a help and an encouragement and a blessing to somebody. You could not be praying 4 o'clock in the morning for someone to be saved, for God to work on their heart, and then get mad at them 6 hours later and yell at them. You cannot pray for somebody at 4:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning and then get in a tussle in a fight with words 6 hours later. You cannot pray for somebody and they then say something demeaning about them and critical of them when they're not in your presence to somebody else if you had prayed for them 6 or 8 hours earlier in the morning. I see too many folks, and I'm not saying for our church, I'm just saying I think this is the greatest need that I'm preaching this morning is prayer. I've seen too many people, saved people, who are too, and I say too in quotes, because I understand all of us can use that liberally, unfortunately, because it's, you know, not quantitative, because everybody has their own impression of how too critical you can be or how too judgmental you can be. But I see too many people who are upset with each other, can't talk to each other, jealous of each other, mad at each other. And I strongly believe if I could put my finger on anything, it would be a lack of prayer in the morning to start your day off. We're just too busy sometimes to pray. You know what I'm talking about. Your life is busy today. Charles Spurgeon said, "If you cannot trust God for the temporal, how dare you trust him for the eternal?" Oswald Chambers said, "Never make the blunder of trying to forecast the way God is going to answer your prayer." Sam Jones said, "Many a person is praying for rain while his tub is the wrong side up." Robert Murray McShane said, "God will either give you what you ask or something far better." Charles Spurgeon said, "Whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom." Martin Luther said, "What are the things we should pray for? First, our personal troubles. The greatest trouble we can never know is thinking that we have no trouble, for we can become hard-hearted and insensible to what is inside of us." D.L. Moody said, "Sometimes when your child talks, your friends cannot understand what he says, but the mother understands very well. So if our prayer comes from the heart, God understands our language." He said, "After we have made our request known to God, our language should be, 'Thy will be done.' I would 1,000 times rather that God's will should be done than my own." E.M. Bound said, "If the devil can get the church to withdraw from prayer by believing reasonable excuses, the church is under his dominion." John Wesley said, "God does nothing except in answer to prayer." Charles Finney said, "Prayer meetings are the most difficult meetings to sustain because they are the most spiritual meetings of the church." John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, he said, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Ian Bounds said, "God shapes the world by prayer. The more prayer there is in the world, the better the world will be." I wonder why the world's a mess today. The mightier the forces of against evil. He said, "No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. If the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has." Oswald Chambers said, "We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties." Bounds said, "Prayer breaks all bars, dissolves all chains, opens all prisons, and widens all straits by which God's saints have been held." Charles Spurgeon said, "If you want that splendid power in prayer, you must remain in loving, living, lasting, conscious, practical, abiding union with the Lord Jesus Christ." Oswald Chambers says, "Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work." And so we have a lack of boldness today. We have a lack of wisdom today because we ask not. We have people that are irate, people that are angry, people that are agitated. And I'm telling you, it's a lack of prayer, personal, quiet prayer time by yourself when no one else is watching and no one else is looking, when no one else is listening. We have pulpits filled with spineless individuals because they do not meet the God of the Bible in the morning. I want to make an announcement this morning. I am gay. Not only am I gay, but I'm a gay liberal. Not only am I a gay liberal, but I'm a Confederate flag waving gay liberal. Not only am I a Confederate flag waving gay liberal, but I'm a white Confederate flag waving gay liberal. Not only am I a white Confederate flag waving gay liberal, but I am a rich, compared to Troy, anybody's rich, white Confederate flag waving gay liberal. By the way, the word gay in the Bible is happy, and the word liberal in the Bible is giving. What you think is liberal is really a socialist, communist, Marxist supporter. Not only am I a rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal, but I am a bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal. And not only am I a bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal, but I am a prejudiced, bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal. Not only am I a prejudiced, bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal, but I am a loudmouth Baptist preacher that is prejudiced, bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving gay liberal that strongly believes in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. You can get mad, and you can get offended, you get ticked off, and you can never come back, but I'm going to meet God tomorrow morning, friend. I don't know who you're going to meet. Not only am I a loudmouth Baptist preacher who's prejudiced, bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving, gay liberal that strongly believes in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, but I'm an anti-abortion, anti-sodomite, anti-tax, anti-one-world government, anti-Catholic, anti-Protestant, anti-charismatic, anti-evangelical, anti-any version other than the King James Version, loudmouth Baptist preacher that is prejudiced, bigoted, rich, white, Confederate flag-waving, gay liberal that strongly believes in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution and believes that the wrong side won in the war between the states. Now, somebody ought to get back to the prayer closet and not be concerned what the front page of the Times Union says tomorrow morning. And some of you ought to be more concerned what God says in the Word of God than what the U.S. Supreme Court says, ladies and gentlemen. And some of you ought to have your heart and your hopes in heaven instead of the Washington, D.C. State House or the Congress House or the White House. And I'm telling you, people are getting despondent and discouraged because they're not praying in the morning. And your whole day is ruined because news is going to come at you day after day, hour after hour of bad news. I could give a flip what the world thinks about me. I care what God thinks about me. But when you don't pray, you're going by your emotions. You're going by the news. You're going by media. Richard Baxter said, "Prayer must carry on our work as much as preaching. He preacheth not heartily to his people that will not pray for them." Spurgeon said, "Groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused." Charles Finney said, "Nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer." Hudson Taylor said, "It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone." Samuel said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Have you sinned against God this week? In ceasing to pray for God's people? Have you sinned last week? Did you sin last month? Did you sin last year? Has it been a whole year? Has it been 2 years? You wonder why we're powerless? You wonder why we're spineless? You wonder why we give in to temptations? You think cute outlines and sermons and illustrations are going to cut it for you, don't you? Martin Luther said, work from morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Oswald Chambers said, God never gives us the sermon in order that we may criticize, but that we may intercede. Campbell Morgan said, the supreme thing is worship. The attitude of worship is the attitude of a subject bent before the king. The fundamental thought is that of prostration, of bowing down. But we have so much pride and ego and stubbornness and rebellion, it's probably because of a lack of prayer. John L. Rice said, all our failures are prayer failures. You want to blame other people? A house divided, Jesus said, cannot fall. A house divided will fall. J. Hudson Taylor said, the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But yet God's people would rather choose their sports and their beer and their alcohol and their amusements. And thus we have no power. We have no boldness. We can't stand for that which is right. We cower. Martin Luther said to pray well is the better half of study. We study all you want. You don't pray, it's in vain, ladies and gentlemen. You can have a wonderful voice, cute sermon outlines, and that won't move people, won't move nations, won't move societies, won't change people. John Wesley said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. John Wesley said, prayer is where the action is. Charles Spurgeon said, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. Spurgeon said, if you want that splendid power in prayer, you must remain in loving, living, lasting, conscious, practical, abiding union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, prayer can never be in excess. Did you spend 5 minutes this morning? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 1 minute? 15 seconds? Your teeth are more important than prayer. Picking out which tie or which dress is more important than speaking with God this morning. I understand. E.M. Bounds said, the word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. He said, prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in the closet. He said, talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. J. Hudson Taylor said, I have seen many men work without praying, though I have never seen any good come out of it. But I've never seen a man pray without working. You try to do all your labor and all your might without prayer, and it'll be in vain, ladies and gentlemen. Spurgeon said, shall I give you yet another reason why you should pray? I have preached my very heart out. I could not say any more than I have said. Will not your prayers accomplish that which my preaching fails to do? Is it not likely that the church has been putting forth its preaching hand, but not its praying hand? Oh, dear friends, let us agonize in prayer. D.L. Moody said, a man who prays much in private will make short prayers in public. E.M. Bounds said, there is neither encouragement nor room in Bible religion for feeble desires, listless efforts, lazy attitudes. All must be strenuous, urgent, ardent. Flame desires and passion, unwearied insistence, delight heaven. God would have his children incorrigibly in earnest and persistently bold in their efforts. Heaven is too busy to listen to half-hearted prayers or to respond to pop calls. Our whole being must be in our praying. Adoniram Judson said, God loves importunate prayer so much that he will not give us much blessing without it. Charles Spurgeon said, I know of no better thermometer to your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer. And so, you look around our country today, you want to blame the abortion crowd and the sodomites, the socialists. I say it's a lack of prayer amongst God's people, ladies and gentlemen. That's why people cave. That's why people compromise. That's why they can't stand by themselves alone for God. Charles Spurgeon said, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body like a rotting bone or a decayed tooth. Before long, since he does not contribute to the benefit of his brethren, he will become a danger and a sorrow to them. Neglect of private prayer is a locust which devours the strength of the church. How's your prayer life this morning? Take your Bible, please. Turn to James, chapter number 4, please. James chapter number 4. How's your prayer life this morning, ladies and gentlemen? Have you prayed for loved ones? Have you prayed for your church? Have you prayed for your country? Have you prayed for wisdom? James chapter number 4, verse number 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts and war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, watch this, because ye ask not. You could have a godly home if you wanted one. You could have godly children if you wanted them. You could get godly wisdom if you wanted it bad enough. He said in James 4, verse number 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What's your prayer life like? Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter number 10, please. Psalm chapter number 10. What's the first thought when you wake up? Did you get a new text? A new email? You got to look at FATSA book? Your Twitter account? Psalm 10, verse number 4. The wicked have destroyed this country, preacher. Well, I ask you who the wicked are. Psalm 10, verse number 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Watch this. God is not in all his thoughts. Have you ever asked God who you should marry? Have you ever asked God where you should go to church? Have you ever asked God what you should do with your life? Have you ever asked God about what's going on in this country and where you ought to take a stand and what you ought to say? Have you ever asked God for discipline? Have you ever asked God for that which is right? Or do you ask God for the things that your soul lusts after, your flesh lusts after, that you want to have your own will, your own desires, and your own things? My Bible says, God is not in all his thoughts. The wicked. How was your morning this morning when you got up? What did you think about when you got up this morning? What's the last thing you think about when you go to bed? What's the last thing you do before you go to bed? What's the first thing you grab for? I remind you, John R. Rice said, all our failures are prayer failures. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Ezekiel chapter number 18. Adoniram Judson said, our prayers run along one road and God's answers by another, and by they meet. D.L. Moody said, I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone. Let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen. D.L. Moody said, I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Busy life? Busy schedule? Fellowship more important than meeting God? Huh? Religious service more important than meeting God? Doing things more important than meeting God? You're gonna fall, friend. Neighbor, you're gonna fall flat on your face. Ezekiel chapter number 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse number 19. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. Aren't you glad for salvation? Do you realize that first prayer that you uttered to God, God washed away all your sin with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And how far we have come from the first earnest, sincere prayer that we ever uttered from our heart, asking Jesus to save our soul. Why would we ever think it would be any different afterwards? But yet pride enters in. Ego is bloated. Stubbornness is clouded, has now clouded our minds. And we've refused to pray. Verse 23, Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? And not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And it goes on. Ezekiel chapter 16, please. The preacher said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. In Acts 12:5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Romans 10:1, the Apostle Paul writes, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is your prayer for people to be saved? Is your prayer for loved ones? Is your prayer for the people that need help and need comfort and need strength? Ezekiel chapter 16, please. Verse number 44. Ezekiel 16, starting in verse 44. I'm going to close with this, believe it or not. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs, verse 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband, and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loatheth their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. God's talking about his own people here, by the way. You listen to this. I'm going to close right here. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. I mean, you could look at this and say, God's speaking to America right now. If you don't think that, you hold on, you'll listen. Yet, verse 47, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Number one, pride. Number two, fullness of bread. Number three, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. What's the sin of America? What's the sin of God's people? The sin of Sodom. Pride. You have too much to eat. You could fast for 3 weeks and still survive. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. What are you doing with your time? Twiddling your thumbs, going online, doing absolutely nothing for God, not going soul winning, not praying, not reading your Bible, and then you wonder why your family's going to fall apart. You wonder why your nation's going to fall apart. Even worse, if you think this is bad, you just hold on to your seats for another 5 or 10 or 20 years, if the Lord tarries. An abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. People are hurting. But you have more important things you do in your life because you have this pity party that you want everybody to focus in on your life. You think your pity party is more important than what God Almighty says in Scripture. You'd rather have a pity party and broadcast it on media outlets instead of spending time with Jesus Christ in a prayer closet, who is the only one that can answer your prayer. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. My soul could rest at ease. All day long, I had no time to spread a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need, but at last the time to die. I went before the Lord. I came. I stood with downcast eyes. For in his hands God held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. The preacher said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Dear friend, are you saved today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember a time where you humbled your heart and you prayed and received Jesus Christ as your Savior to save your soul from hell? Hey, dear believer, when's the last time you spent not a short 5, 10, 15-second prayer, a bow of the head, but when's the last time you spent quality time with the one who made you and created you? With the one who knows you better than anyone else. You can go through the rest of your life faking it. You can go through the rest of your life through your own strength. But you're going to see more of what you saw this last week, ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of your life also. A prayerless society and prayerless people who like to blame everybody else instead of their prayer closet having too much dust on the floor.